squirrel's tail, and that's normal. So all others wishing to join tonight's net, please call now.
WA2IAC. WB2CHP. Name is George. Good evening.
WA2IAC. This is WB2JVY Milt.
KC2CU. Name is Nick. Spock Hill.
WA2IAC. This is N2RTE. The name is Mario. Good evening, everyone. On the net.
WA2IAC. Live from Spark Hill, New York. We got all the Spark Hill and Piermont people in all at once. This is N2LF on the couch, Joe, along with his sidekick.
Amanda.
Hey, I'm Mr. Greg.
Hi, Mr. Greg.
Yeah, good evening, Greg, everybody on the net.
WA2IAC. This is K2LKL. Name here is Marty. Good evening. New City.
WA2IAC. This is WA2FWZ, Bob in Nanuet.
WA2IAC. K2PH, Paul in the city.
Okay, I'd like to acknowledge the following stations, WB2CHP, George, WB2JVY, Milt, KC2CU, Nick, good evening to you, N2RTE, Mario, N2LF, Joe with Amanda, and good evening to you, Amanda, K2LKL, Marty. Good evening. WA2FWZ, Bob. And I believe that was K2TH Paul, if I have the name correct. There was someone who might have been doubling with K2LKL, so I will stand by now for any other stations wishing to check in.
Just a correction. Kilo 2 Papa Hotel, Paul in this city.
Okay, thank you, Paul. K2PH. All right, well, let's start out by seeing if there are any stations that have announcements or queries. Please call now. WA2IAC with the Rockland Repeater Net for the Tuesday night 8 p.m. net. Let's give one more chance for check-ins. Please call now.
WA2IAC. WA2IVW Jim along with W2NLX Carolee from Wayne, New Jersey.
W2IAC, KC2FGG, Scott over here in Nyack. Good evening, everybody.
I'd like to confirm WA2IBW with W2NLX. And good evening to you, Jim, and Carol Lee, and KC2FGG, and Nyack Scott. Any other check-ins, please call now.
Correction, it's Whiskey Alpha 2 India Victor Whiskey.
Oh, okay, thank you. That's one that has eluded me in past nets, so I stand corrected, thank you. Any other check-ins, please call now.
WA2IAG. Mr. Greg, this is KC2VR, Fallen 1Q. All I was going to say, Greg, thank you. And a pleasant eyes a good evening.
KC2VR, WA2IAC, and good evening to everyone. We'll continue the net now with Swap and Shop and give a chance for additional check-ins in just a moment, but let's see if there's anyone that would like to swap and shop eligible items, excuse me, must be related to your ham radio hobby, and you must not be in the business of selling or buying ham radio equipment. Well, relatively speaking. You may list the items and their prices, but not negotiate over the air. Please give your telephone number or perhaps an email address to indicate if you'll stand by on frequency after the net for further discussion of what you may have to trade. So if all stations wishing to list items to sell, buy, or trade, please call now. WA2IAC, and I would have two items, if you will, that I'd like to mention for swap and shop. One is my budget is busted due to the WTC, that is World Trade Center. It's easier not to mention the words or spell them out. Disaster, I guess we could call it. Due to that, my budget is busted, and so I'm still interested in acquiring equipment, though. So if anyone has old tube rigs that they're interested in unloading or giving a good home, I am interested, whether they are working or not. And excess equipment will be donated, and in particular, I am now Elmering a young fellow in Palisades, and hopefully he will become a ham. And I'm looking also to put together some equipment for him. He's interested in VHF 2 meters, so if anyone has a 2-meter type rig that they'd like to give to a budding young ham, I would also be interested in getting a hold of something like that for him. He's at home tonight and not able to make it over here. I did invite him to my home for tonight's net, but he was unable to make it since he doesn't have transportation. So I'm recording tonight's net, and I will be placing that recording on the internet on my website, wa2iac.com.net, and then he will be able to hear tonight's net, and others are invited to do the same. So anyone that can help me out with tube gear, HF in particular, or perhaps a 2-meter rig that they'd like to donate to the young fellow that I am Elmering, please call wa2iac now. Well, if you have something that you'd like to bring to my attention later, I invite you to send me email or contact me after the net. My email address is wa2iac@arrl.net. Any other stations wishing to list items to sell, buy, or trade for swap and shop, please call now.
KC2FGG with a couple items, some dummy loads here.
KC2SGG, go ahead, please, Scott.
Yeah, I come across a number of dummy loads that are removed from brand new cell equipment, so they're good up to probably 1 gigahertz anyway. I have a bunch of 25-watt loads. I've been getting rid of a bunch of them on eBay, but anyway, I thought I'd mention it tonight. They're dry dummy loads, low power, 25 watts, about 9 fins on aluminum heat sink. You could mimic it to something else and put a lot more power into it. and I got a bunch of these bullet twist on 15 watt twist on dummy loads too. They both have N male connectors, and I'm looking for maybe $5 for the 25 watt loads and the little bullet things. What could I get for them? A buck a piece? Who knows? I'm gonna get rid of them. Anyway, my number is 358-D367. If anybody's interested in asking any questions about them, or if they can use them. I also have a number of right angle N connectors that I would just throw in there too. So anybody interested, give me a call. We can discuss it.
Okay, if anyone's interested right away, go ahead and call Scott. He gave his number. It's 358-8367. Scott, please correct me if that's wrong, and I think if I've got it correct, these are dummy loads used for frequencies up to cellular, so that's well above 70 centimeters, and up to 25 watts with N-type connectors. Those are very easy to adapt to SO239 or BNC. And please call Scott, KC2FGG, now, and we'll take another listen for you, Scott, at the end of the net.
Yeah, very good. Let me make a correction there. The phone number, I have to correct. It's 358-4367, KC2FGG.
Okay, very good, Scott. Thanks for correcting that, because others may have gotten that wrong also. 358-4367 for KC2FGG and the two types of dummy loads that he just described. We'll give another listen for Scott at the end of the net. Okay, any other stations for Swap and Shop? Well, I'd like to add that I've heard stations up north that use the 105 repeater express an interest in Swap and Shop and other aspects of the net, and for that reason I'm going to also try to get the next week's net, which I will not be hosting, on the internet live, and I'll put that information out to the RRA mail list, or you can probably find evidence of that on my website, http://wa2iac.com.net. So if you have a real audio player, you'll be able to hear next week's net on the internet, and RRA members that are outside the range of this repeater will be able to participate. Maybe we'll get some more action in Swap and Shop. I think that would be neat. Any other stations for Swap and Shop, please call WA2IAC now. Okay, nothing heard. Let's see if there are any late check-ins. Please call WA2IAC now. Okay, there seems to be a station calling that is not making the repeater. So, if possible, please change your location or perhaps increase your power and give us another try. This is WA2IAC. Okay, I got Golf Zulu. Is there anyone that can provide me a relay before we try that again? Golf Zulu Station. Let's try that one more time. Please call WA2IAC.
WA2IAC. This is KC2 Golf Zulu Charlie, Bobbitt and Long Island. Good evening.
Okay, I got KC2 Golf Zulu Charlie. That was better on that last transmission, old man. KC2GZC. Can you give me your name one more time, please?
Yes, my name is Marvin.
is Joe N2LF. I said his name is Marvin. It sounds like he's off by 5KC. Frequency, old man, is 147.165. Back to net.
Okay, thank you for that frequency correction. I'll copy now.
Oh, that's fine business. You are now solid into the repeater. Thanks very much for that relay, Joe. That really did the trick, Marvin. You are now full quieting. You were off on the edge, and I couldn't make out your name since there was a little distortion there since you were on the edge. So you're making it just fine now. KC2GZC, good evening, and welcome to the net from WA2IAC. Do we have any other check-ins?
This is Kilo Echo 2, Sierra Delta, Marine Mobile.
Kilo Echo 2, Sierra Delta, Marine Mobile. What's the name there and what is your QTH?
Good evening. My name is Ron. QTH is Havistraw, and we're aboard a tugboat.
Well, good evening. You must be having a chilly night on the Hudson River. KE2SD, thanks very much for joining us, Ron, and along with KC2GZC. And do either of you gentlemen have anything that you would like to participate in swap and shop with before we proceed with the net?
A negative at this time. This is KC2Golf Edge Charlie.
This is KE2SD. I have no traffic for the net. I do have a query about the internet connection on, I guess, the other machine. Perhaps after the net I could chat with somebody about that.
Okay, Ron. We'll definitely make that a topic for discussion after the net. And I haven't heard either K2CIB or Adam and to LKV check in this evening, but perhaps I can tell you what I know about it, and we can discuss that, and maybe we'll get some more input from other members that have been participating in the early testing of the IRLP links. So this is WA2IAC with the Rockland Repeater Net, and we will now go for the Newsline report. So I'll ask you to stand by one moment while I call that up. This is WA2IAC. Stand by one moment.
Auto dial.
Hello?
Sorry. Please hang up.
Call complete at
8:21 p.m.
on
10/9.
Well, that was interesting. We have a change in auto patch setup. Please stand by. WA2IAC with the Rockland Repeater Net. And while I'm at it, I'd like to welcome KC2VR Paul. If I didn't confirm your previous call, Paul, I don't have a check mark here. My apologies. We'll try Newsline one more time.
Auto dial.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1260 with the release date of Friday, October the 5th, 2001, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A big week for ham radio in space as AO40 proves GPS works in space and PCSat goes into orbit. These stories are first on our Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1260, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Los Angeles, here is Mert Garlick, N6AWE.
AMSAT reports another success with its AO-40 satellite that holds the promise of changing the way men travel into space. This with word that the onboard global positioning system, or GPS experiment, has now undergone successful testing. Roy Neal, K60UE, has the details.
About 20 years ago, the Air Force put a ring of satellites in orbit called the Global Positioning System, GPS. They were designed to show where in the world you are with pinpoint accuracy. The Air Force used them to guide missiles and military aircraft. The system was made available for public use a few years later. It's become a mainstay for navigating airliners, ships at sea, trucks, and cars on the highways, and even hikers. NASA wanted to know if GPS also could be used to provide positional data outside its ring of satellites. The space agency turned to Amateur Radio's AMSAT Corporation to help with an experiment. NASA provided two GPS receivers, which were installed on the AO-40 satellite. The A receiver would tune in at apogee, highest point in orbit. The B receiver would listen at perigee, the low point. Jim White, WD0E, the AMSAT coordinator and chief operator, has just made his first report on the activity. He said, "We received a signal from about 52,000 kilometers out with good signal levels. Further data is being gathered, and those downloaded so far are being analyzed." They were downlinked through the AO-40 S-band transmitter. AMSAT Vice President Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, who was instrumental in setting up the experiment, said it will revolutionize the way GPS is used in space. Bauer said many future high Earth orbiting satellites will be able to take advantage of GPS for autonomous navigation and station keeping. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, Roy Neal, K6DUE.
The bottom line, it now looks as if a ham radio satellite may help change the way men and machines travel to and from space. The long-awaited Kodiak Star launch carrying the PCSat ham radio satellite into orbit is a success. According to the AMSAT News Service, the launch took place from Kodiak, Alaska, at 2:40 UTC on Sunday morning, September the 30th. Initial information indicates that all satellites were successfully deployed and that the amateur radio satellites have been heard by hams in many countries. One of the first reports came from Derek Sudholm, ZL1AKJ of AMSAT New Zealand. Derek said that stations down under heard good telemetry signals from PCSat's first two passes over New Zealand. The launch of the Kodiak Star had been delayed several times due to weather conditions and solar flares. On board the launch vehicle were the PCSat, Sapphire, and Starshine satellites. PCSat is a Naval Academy amateur radio satellite. The Sapphire satellite also has Naval Academy involvement in a joint venture with the Washington University. Starshine was the primary NASA payload. Amateur radio operations are now winding down, but there is more sad news from what's become known as Ground Zero in New York City. It now appears that two more hams may have lost their lives in the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. The ARRL says that Rod Coppola, KA2KET, was the transmitter engineer on duty for public broadcasting station WMET, Channel 13, at the time the attack occurred. Coppola was 46 and lives in New York City. Also missing is Winston Grant, KA2DRF. Grant is a computer technician with Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. He is 59 and lives in West Hempstead, New York. Neither man has been seen since the Twin Towers collapsed after being hit by hijacked jetliners on September the 11th. In a related development, the Portland chapter of the Society of Broadcast Engineers and the ARRL both report that a fund has been established to assist the families of broadcast engineers still missing at the collapsed World Trade Center. Checks can be sent to the Ennis Educational Foundation in care of the Society of Broadcast Engineers, Incorporated, 9247 North Meridian Street, Suite 305, Indianapolis, Indiana. The zip code is 46260. Please mark your envelope to the attention of the Broadcast Engineering Relief Fund. Ham radio operators from Indiana are among those who made the trek to New York City to aid in rescue efforts after the September 11th terrorist attack. Their job was communications. Amateur News Weekly's Jack Parker, W8ISH, has more.
36 hours after the first airplane crashed into the World Trade Center, Indiana's Task Force 1 was standing at Ground Zero. Among the 62 members of this elite search and rescue team were two Indianapolis amateur radio operators. Veteran firefighter Jim Crusaden, KB9ZFF, and Ed Elrod, W9PTO, made the 14-hour road trip to New York. Both men make up the communications arm of this search and rescue team. The moment they arrived, they began setting up a UHF communications link from ground zero to their staging point several miles away at the Javis Convention Center. According to Jim Crusaden, getting UHF signals through the concrete canyon of New York City was a major challenge. Ed Elrod said they first installed a repeater on a nearby building and directed a Yagi antenna at the mountain of rubble. The Javis Convention Center posed another radio obstacle. Handheld radios could not reach the repeater. To fix this problem, Elrod wired up a remote base on the roof of the convention center. This new link made it possible to communicate with the Indiana search and rescue personnel above and below the World Trade Center ruins. Ed Elrod's most inspirational moment came during his second trip out of the devastation. All week, hundreds of people had been lining the streets, cheering and showing signs of support. When heavy rains began dousing New York, the crowds disappeared. He said the contrast was amazing. The streets were nearly empty, except for one lonely figure standing in the rain. It was an elderly woman holding a sign that read, "Thank you." Reporting from Indianapolis, this is Jack Parker, WHISH.
The hams from Indianapolis were not the only ones who traveled to New York City to help in relief efforts. We plan to profile others in future Amateur Radio Newsline reports. This is one of the many voices from the United States of America. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Arkansas Radio Emergency Services Net, serving Little Rock, Arkansas.
This is the Rockland Repeater Association Net.
In the wake of the September 11th terrorist attacks on New York City and the Pentagon, the Defense Department has renewed support for its view that it shouldn't give up its spectrum to make room for consumer wireless products. Congressional auditors say that the proposed changes now could pose a further threat to national security. Amateur Radio Newsline's Norm Seeley, KI7UP, has more.
Supporters of the mobile communication industry still say the transfer of some current military spectrum to the private sector is essential to fill the high demand for such services as the next generation of mobile phones and wireless internet access. But Congress's General Accounting Office says that if the Defense Department makes room for new wireless consumer products before more research is conducted, it will endanger the nation because of potential interference with Pentagon operations. And it goes even further. Defense Department officials say that besides creating interference, moving all defense systems out of the current spectrum would take until 2017. That, says the DOD, would cost billions of dollars to orbit satellites and otherwise accommodate military needs. In the meantime, the Federal Communications Commission announced on September 24th that it will expand the possible uses of the 2500 to 2690 megahertz band. That spectrum is currently used for fixed wireless services. New rules may eventually include a mobile component so that the spectrum can be used for 3G services such as high-speed internet access or music and video downloads. The FCC says that it had considered reallocating the 2500 to 2690 band as a primary allocation to the new 3G wireless service. Because of the outcry against taking the spectrum from schools and other incumbent users, it instead voted to create a... portable data applications to be offered under existing service rules and could provide flexibility for offering other new advanced fixed and mobile services in the future. But it added that it would have to explore service rules that would apply to allow mobile operations in the band in a separate future rulemaking proceeding. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, Norm Seeley, KI7UP.
A September 2002 deadline by Congress for an auction of new spectrum licenses for wireless services might be delayed because of the Pentagon's resistance to any allocation change. They did it to show support to the firefighters, law enforcement agents, and all Americans involved in the effort to rescue the victims of the recent act of terrorism. This is Navy Ensigns Daniel Campos and Christine Fix, coordinated relay run to carry our national flag from Virginia to New York City. The goal was to carry the Stars and Stripes from the Pentagon to the World Trade Center. The run began on Friday, the September the 28th, and continued overnight until they arrived at about 1800 UTC Saturday afternoon. Their route was tracked by using the global positioning system capability of the United States Naval Academy's Ham Radio Club. Computer-generated maps were able to show live progress of the runners along the way. The September 11th terrorist attack is now having an effect in the world of ham radio contesting. This, as Al Crespo, NH7A, tells the Ohio Penn DX News that his CN2ACCQ Worldwide Single Sideband Contest operation from Morocco has been canceled. Al says that he will instead operate from Maui using his NH7A call sign. International Health Services says that it needs ham radio operators to accompany medical and dental teams to villages in Honduras. According to an internet posting by John Kirchhoff, KB0UUP, most of these villages IHS visits have no electricity or phones. Kirchhoff says that they often are the only medical care these local people will ever see.
Which in Honduras is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and they just discovered this extremely poor people there who had basically no health care system. Then they kept going every year, and a couple years later some doctors joined them, and it has just grown and grown. And so after 20 years, now we have basically each year about 100 people go on each mission in February.
Kirchhoff, who is the communications director for IHS, says the group will provide high-frequency gear for any operator who does not have his or her own portable rig. Both men and women are welcome to apply. Sign-up is now until about mid-October. For some basic information, visit www.ihsofmn.org or contact John by email to jmkkek@runestone.net. 3 out of 4 adults in the United States favor laws to curb the use of cellular phones while driving. This, according to a survey released by a highway safety group. And it's a survey that has some ham radio operators concerned as well. Amateur Radio Newsline's Don Wilbanks, KC5MFA, filed this report.
The poll of 1,001 adults was carried out July 1st to the 19th by the Lewis Harris Organization for Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety. This is a coalition of consumer, health, safety, and insurance groups who say that they're working to make U.S. roads safer. The results are almost startling. Though nearly 2 out of 3 people surveyed report owning a cellular phone, the poll found a lopsided 76% backed restricting their use by drivers in motion except in emergencies. In fact, the poll found that mobile cellular phone use in vehicles topped the list of concerns that people want addressed. Cell phone use was closely followed by drunk driving and improving safety at intersections. This poll and others like it are of concern to radio amateurs and operators of other mobile two-way radio gear. Currently, no federal law bars the use of cell phones while driving, but several states prohibit phones being held by hand while driving except in emergencies. Two-way radio users fear that any across-the-board federal ban on using a cellular phone while driving might also be applied to other radio services as well. Meantime, another report from the National Conference of State Legislatures says that laws suggesting bans on drivers using handheld cell phones have now been proposed in 40 states. As previously reported, a measure in New York recently won approval, and at least a dozen municipalities have also established mobile cellular telephone bans. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Don Wilbank, KC5MFA, reporting from New Orleans.
The survey also says that all of these enacted and proposed laws appear to have widespread public support. Project manager Wayne Mills, N7NG, says that access to ARRL's proposed logbook to the world will be for everyone. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, reports.
In the note that Pete Smith, N4ZR, and posted to the VHF reflector, Wayne Mills says that the only charge will be for usage. Mills explains that there will be a charge when utilizing the QSO record for a specific award, such as the FCC, Islands on the Air, Work Goal Zone, and those types of things. Mills says this means that users will pay only for what he calls usable QSLs. You will not have to pay for attempts to get a QSL as you currently do when you send them by mail, either direct or via a bureau. Mills believes that this should result in a dramatic savings as compared to the traditional methods of obtaining QSL cards. Mills also notes that 5 years is about as far back as logbooks of the world will probably ever go. Initially, says Mills, it won't even go back that far. This, he says, will be an attempt to manage the initial data inrush that's expected. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. Merck?
In addition to his work on Logbook to the World, Wayne Mills, M7NG, is the Membership Services Manager for the American Radio Relay League. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website, www.arnewsline.org.
And it's the Rockland Repeater Association Net at www.rra.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the August listener appreciation list, here is Amateur Radio Newsline Support Fund Administrator Andy Jarema, N6TCQ.
In the month of August, we heard from the Mount Beacon Amateur Radio Club of Wappingers Falls, New York, Benson Bonney of Orlando, Hiram Tam, the Amateur Radio Society of Miami. A big thank you to Roy Blanchard, M5YHS of New Orleans, Mike King, W5PY of Slidell, Louisiana, Daryl Stout, N5VLZ of Little Rock, Arkansas, Robert Guidas, KB4ABF of Maynardville, Tennessee, Radio Amateur Club of Knoxville, Richard Wolf, WI8X, also of Knoxville, monthly contributor Frank Hemko of Harrods Creek, Kentucky, Robert Mazkerzak, and KA8WQL, and Cheryl Turner, KB8YKA of Berea, Ohio, Wally Willhart, W7MVK of Bountiful, Utah, from California, William Walters of San Jose, Daniel Hart, KE6UHG from Bakersfield, Robert Fitzcelio, W6AEJ of Downey, our friends at the Pasadena Radio Club, W6KA, and our old friend and star of last month's QSD magazine, Dave Bell, W6AQ of Hollywood. I'm Andy Jarema, N6TCQ. Thank you for your support.
More with Andy and the Support Fund in future newscasts. A big win for ham radio in Guatemala. The Club de Radio Aficionados in Guatemala says that nation spectrum regulators are returning the 430 to 440 megahertz band to amateur radio use. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Burnett, KT4SB, reports from Miami.
It was 5 years ago, back in 1996, when the Guatemalan government suddenly banned hams from accessing that spectrum. Guatemala then auctioned those frequencies to commercial operations. But reports out of Guatemala soon said that the reallocation was not working the way the government had envisioned. No reasons were given. Now comes word through AMSAT that these new users will be moved elsewhere, and the 430 to 440 megahertz band will be returned to its former use in amateur radio operations. And in the hope of preventing this kind of an arbitrary reallocation from ever taking place again, the Guatemalan National Amateur Radio Society says that it will ask the International Telecommunications Union to add a footnote to its table of allegations at the World Radio Communication Conference 2003, one that will give the amateur radio service primary status from 430 to 440 megahertz in that country. From Miami, I'm Bill Burnett, KT4SB, reporting for the Amateur Radio Newsline.
The Club Radio Aficionados de Guatemala had petitioned the Guatemalan government to reverse its decision removing ham radio operations from the band. Hams down under in BK Land are also celebrating after surviving a threat. This to their use of several key repeater sites. Q News' Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has the details from Melbourne, Australia.
Site 3 wins. VK2MT says that local clubs were faced with annual site bills of up to $3,000. A lot of e- and snail mail correspondence was generated, plus a couple of visits to members of parliament, both at the state and federal level. And what became obvious after about a month was that the softly, softly approach, while still holding a big stick, was perhaps the way to go. Well, just over 3 months later, and the dust has settled, Illawarra has been officially informed there will be a maximum figure of just $300 attached to each existing amateur club that has equipment at a transgrid site. Reporting for Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4 Baker Baker of Q News Australia.
Clubs will have to satisfy several provisos, such as insurance, priority of commercial users, and the like. Also, the $300 rate could apply only to existing amateur tenants, though this needs to be clarified. Overall, though, it is a satisfactory outcome for amateurs and clubs who could have faced fees 10 times as much. According to a recent WRTC press release, Yaesu will be the principal radio equipment supplier for WRTC 2002. This is WRTC representatives Marty Lane, OH2BH, and Dennis Moschenbacher, K7BV, sign a major sponsoring agreement with Jun Hasegawa, president of Vertex Standard Company Limited. Vertex Standard manufactures the Yaesu line of ham radio gear. Lane and Mochenberger signed the agreement while in Japan to represent WRTC 2002 at the recent Ham Fair in Yokohama. While at the Ham Fair, they invited Tak Kumagai, JE1CKA, to act as the WRTC 2002 representative in Japan. Kumagai has accepted the post. In DX, there is also word of yet another successful super low-frequency report across the Pacific. Jeremy Booth, G4NJH, has more.
On the 21st of September, a number of New Zealand and Australian stations sent extremely slow Morse on their 165 to 190 kilohertz low-frequency band. Part of the signal from ZL6 Quebec Henry was received by Victor Echo 7 Sierra Lima in southwest Canada just before his dawn, and it faded out some 3 minutes after sunrise. The path length is estimated to be 11,709 kilometers. Radiated power was estimated to be 5 watts, and the antenna was a long wire at the Quartz Hill Club Station, which is run by the Wellington Amateur Radio Club. Reception of a complete call sign is the next challenge. The short duration of the opening means that a faster mode has to be used, so this is likely to worsen an already marginal signal-to-noise ratio.
Because of the extremely slow speed of the contact, there is no audio to share with you. In fact, reception requires a computer and a special decoding program. Our thanks to Bob Vernal, ZL2CA, for much of the information on this historic radio event. And finally this week, we take another look at the FCC's position on voluntary band plans in the amateur radio service. According to the Special Counsel for Amateur Radio, Riding Hollingsworth, there are two kinds of problems the FCC sees. The first is the operator who simply does not know that a specific band plan exists.
Now, in the first case, not knowing about the band plan, that's more understandable than you might think at first, because unless an operator really keeps up with amateur publications, including league publications, they won't know about the band plans. Now, a lot of operators have a list of frequencies on which they're authorized to operate, and they keep it right at the operating desk. I'd recommend having a second sheet with that frequency list that describes the band plan for each band, because in some ways the band plans are more complex than the frequency list, but in fact they don't really substantially inconvenience anyone, and they really do enhance amateur radio and make it a lot more interesting and make it possible to do a lot more experimenting.
But what about that small but vocal group of hams who simply refuse to abide by band plans by claiming it's their right not to? For these people, Hollingsworth has some words as well.
That attitude is very destructive, and they just can't stand it, that there may be an area where they shouldn't go because of a band plan. Now, they don't stop to think that QRP or PSK31 couldn't exist without band plans, and the fact that they have about 3,850 other discrete frequencies and don't have to bother the folks in the band plan set-aside segments, for example, on 160 meters in the CW band plan recommended segment, that never occurs to them. And, of course, if they were adhering to the band plan and someone bothered them, they'd be the first to knock on the FCC's door.
As Hollingsworth stated last week, these are hams who are totally focused on rights and could care less about responsibilities. They do not care about the damage that they do to amateur radio and do not have a clue as to how much pressure is on our frequencies from entities who would like to see them taken away. With thanks to the Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT, the ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the Radio Society of Great Britain, and Australia's Q News, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, Post Office Box 660-937, Arcadia, California, 91066. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, I'm Mert Garlick, N6AWE, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is a product of the Amateur Radio Newsline Incorporated. It is copyright 2001, and all rights are reserved.
Call complete at
8:48 p.m.
on
10-9.
Automatic control set change over.
This is WA2IAC for the Rockland Repeater Association Net every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. And some more info and other interesting stuff, but first I suggest a moment of silence for the hams and office workers, thousands of them. Some of whom were my friends, and other tenants at the World Trade Center. A moment of silence for those who lost their lives, please. Okay, far too often the attention is focused on a much smaller group of people. This is WA2IAC with the Rockland Repeater Association Tuesday Evening Net. I wanted to see if there are any additional check-ins at this time. Please call now.
WA2IAC. This is K2CIB. Good evening.
WA2IAC. This is a 12KV portable. Adam. Good evening, all.
K2CIB and N2LKV, thanks for joining us. And Adam, I think that there are some questions that some of the stations participating in tonight's net may have about the status of IRLP that perhaps you could enlighten us about. I wanted to fill in something that occurred on the an item that occurred on the newsline this evening about the Kodiak satellite. The satellite was actually launched from Alaska, which is kind of unusual, by an Athena 1 rocket. This is from ARRL News Bulletin. It boosted three amateur radio payloads and PicoSat, a technology demonstration satellite, into orbit. And in addition to the Starfire and Sapphire satellites is the PCSat satellite, a 1200-baud APRS digipeater designed for used by amateurs using handheld receivers or mobiles. Just to be very brief, the interesting thing about this satellite is it was built by students at University of California at Berkeley using standard ham radio components available, modules available from Hamtronics. I think this marks the first that off-the-shelf amateur radio technology has been incorporated into a satellite. And as you heard, all those satellites are working fine. One of the websites that's mentioned with respect to this, the one carrying the digipeter, is http://ssdl.stanford.edu/aa/projects/squirt1/sapphire-overview with an underbar separating the words .html. That's a mouthful. Let me repeat that I'm recording tonight's net and will make it available on my website, which is wa2iac.com.net without a www, and the Rockland Repeater Net is Rockland Repeater Association is www.rra.net. And I wanted to welcome Paul KC2VR this evening. Paul is involved on two tech nets, and perhaps Paul could give us information about when those nets are being held and what frequencies. This is WA2IAC. Paul isn't there. Adam, N2LKV. I'd be interested to know, and I know a number of others
on the net tonight. We'd be interested to know the status of the IRLP connection on the 850 repeater. N2LKV, WA2IAC.
WA2IAC, N2LKV, good evening all. Well, let me, I was reading the mail during the beginning of the net. I was unable to check in hopes that my three-month-old would fall asleep, which it looks like that may have been accomplished. So, not knowing what the gentleman knows or doesn't know, I'd rather entertain him first, and then I can give a general overview of where I am. If the gentleman who originally asked the question is still on frequency and would like to be specific, please go ahead now. This is at 12KV.
Yes, good evening. This is KE2SD. My name is Ron. I had stumbled across the IRLP website. I don't know where, but I came across it and found it to be very, very interesting. I don't really have a specific question. I guess if I did, it would be, is there a 2-meter link? And maybe you could just give us a brief overview of it. KE2SD.
Okay, good evening. Yes, that website is very informative. Well, basically, going back several years, several people around the world that like to tinker with repeaters wanted to try and link them through the internet, of which I am one of them. I had a very crude and ugly setup here. Was it last year or the year before? I think it was in 1999. Whereby on the 440 system, guys enjoyed working people in Alaska and Germany. Very crude, very poor audio, although it did work. It was fascinating. And obviously at the same time that I was playing with it, there were much more intelligent people and those with much more time on their hands than I have. And one gentleman in Canada has pretty much come up with the standard of how it's going to be done, not by him setting the standard, but by everybody following suit, I suppose. And basically what I have done is followed suit. I have become a node on the IRLP system. A node, the term node, refers to basically a PC located somewhere. In this case, it's at my house, connected to a link radio, connected to some decent bandwidth on the internet, in which you can bring this audio onto the repeater system, and vice versa. Where we are at with it is that it is 100% working. However, because there's a standard, let me just drop this. Because there is a standard on how things work on the IRLP system, there's a couple of loose ends that I must tie up so I don't get scolded like I did once before. And that's an exaggeration. Nobody scolds anybody. Everybody's a very helpful and perfect gentleman on the system. You have to use some common sense in that at some point in time you could be connected to a reflector as opposed to another node. Those are the two means of connecting on IRLP. A node-to-node connection would be my node connected to one other node, thus just the two repeaters are connected together. But there are ways to connect to a reflector, which is another special computer with mega bandwidth, where 25, 30, 40, 50 repeaters around the world can connect to. And when you're connected to that, they really want you to follow some rules, like no local rag chewing. You know, a local QSO shouldn't ensue on one repeater that's tying up 50 of them. Static, lack of PL, you know. But for example, on the 440 side of the Rockland Repeater Association system, we have 10 meters and 6 meters, which if they were to open up and create a lot of static, we definitely would not want to be connected to the reflector, tying up all the repeaters with that info. So, where we're at is it is working. There's a lot of loose ends to be tied up as far as timing issues that we're working on, not to tie other repeaters up, codes to be able to control the thing. And again, the website for everybody is irlp.net. IRLP standing for Internet Radio Linking Project.net. And your question regarding 2 meters, not yet, but soon.
Thank you, Adam. N2LKV. And the question there from KE2SD. Thanks for that update on RT. And I've been listening on your work. I haven't been able to do it in the last couple of days, but what I heard before that has been very fascinating. I hear stations all over the country and all over the world. And as Adam mentioned, and I did hear the earlier experiment. I wasn't too clear on what that was, but the audio fidelity on IRLP is excellent, and it's www.irlp.net. The website has a PDF document that explains in detail how it all works without going into too much detail. So it makes good reading. Do you have any other comments, Adam?
WA2IAC N2LKV. No, however, I believe that either the gentleman who originally asked the question or somebody else may have doubled with you for that entire transmission, but you clearly won, so there would be no reason for you to repeat. I heard everything you said. But the station that doubled with Greg, if you'd like to proceed now, go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is KE2SD Marine Mobile. I just wanted to thank you for your information and found that very interesting. So I'll pass it back to Net Control or whoever handed it to me. We'll be listening out. Thank you very much.
Okay, this is WA2IAC. Thank you, Ron, and thanks for joining us in this evening's Net. My apology for doubling with you there. While we're at it, are there any other, let's first go for late check-ins. Are there any other stations that would like to join the net? Please call them out, WA2IAC. Nothing heard. Any stations with information, please call out, WA2IAC. John, K2CIB, if you're still with us, do you have any info with respect to the repeater club that you'd like to talk to us about this evening?
Yeah, good evening to everybody. I don't know. My signal's cut. I don't know what's cutting out there. Maybe it's my receiver. Nothing comes to mind, Greg. Thank you for a very nice net. Thank you, Adam, for explaining IRLP. I think the one thing you didn't answer about that is no, we do not have a node that's connected in with 2 meters. That would be a nice thing to do. Maybe that will wait until we put in that link that will link the UHF and VHF repeaters together. And that way it would work that we could do it for net time or something like that. No, I think that's about it. Thank you all. Back to net.
Okay, John, you're not full quieting, but you're making a Q5. WA2IAC, net control. Adam, go ahead, N2LKV.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, John, that was the last thing I did. Maybe your receiver did cut out. The answer to the, is there a link to IRLP on 2 meters, I simply answered by saying, not yet. already in the works. Maybe sooner than you think. Maybe not, though. I've got some things I'm working on. But I'd like that, too. And to LKB.
Okay, and I believe that Adam's exact words were, not yet. So Adam clearly has his hands full, and I think we all appreciate the work that you're doing there, and I can appreciate that there are some extra added problems with the 850 repeater because it's linked to so many other bands, and certainly the possibility of some DX coming in there and potentially causing some disruptions. It can get quite busy with all the stations that you hear with IRLP. Definitely does not make for a quiet repeater. So if you're looking for activity, IRLP will be the elixir for that, if you will. Well, at this point, we are at the discussion phase of tonight's net, and let's see if there's anyone who would like to raise a new topic before I proceed further. This is WA2IAC. Okay, well, I did hear a signal, so if there is a station calling, please call one more time. This is WA2IAC. KC2VR, are you on frequency call? Okay, nothing heard. Paul is running a TechNet Thursday at the same time, 8 o'clock. Starts at the same time as this net, 8 o'clock. And I don't have the frequency for that one handy, but I'll include it on the information that I post on my website. And at this point, I suppose that we can conclude the net. Earlier, before we do that, earlier Scott, KC2FGG, mentioned some items for sale in Swap and Shop. Those were dummy loads that I guess they can dissipate up to 25 watts, probably up to a gigahertz, and he has a number of them. And Scott gave the number 358-4367. Again, that's Scott, KC2FGG, at 358-4367. So if you're interested in those items, you might want to try contacting Scott. And if you'd like to give him a call, please do so now, WA2IAC. Okay, well, I'd like to thank everyone for a good net. And if there are any last-minute check-ins or net business of any kind before closing the net, please call now. Okay, well, it's been a long net, too. I'd like to acknowledge and thank the following stations for joining us this evening. WB2CHP, George. WB2JVY, Milt. Thanks for joining us. KC2CU, Nick, here in Sparkill, where I am located. N2RTE, Mario. N2LF, also in Sparkill with Amanda. K2LKL, Marty. WA2FWZ, Bob. K2PH, Paul. WA2IVW, and W2NLX, Jim and Carol Lee. KC2FGG, Scott. Naya, KC2VR, Paul. KC2GZC on Long Island. Marvin, thank you for checking in this evening. Good to hear from you. KE2SD, Marine Mobile in Haverstraw, Ron, and John K2CIB, and Adam N2LKV. Thanks to all for joining us. Please join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. for the Rockland Repeater Net. And at this time, this is WA2IAC Greg closing the net and returning the repeater to regular amateur use. Good evening to all.